Now, we're going to look at the letter to the Corinthians. It's an interesting choice. All the theme of prophecy, and then this talk. You see, prophets love God's people. They are not angry. You know, I remember years ago, some young kids with, you know, all dressed like Buddhists, you know, in saffron robes, get up in the bus and tell everybody they had to repent. But all they were doing was acting out their own anger. That's not prophecy. You have to love God's people in order to risk and speak. If I'm on the bus or the plane, and I want to strike up a conversation, why? Because the love of Christ is urging me. Tell them something about me. And listen with your heart to see how far you can bring them. Show them my face. Shine like a star in their life. They'll remember you when they get off the bus or off the plane. Because I'll make sure they do remember what you told them, because it was my word and I can build on it. Do you love enough? Do you care enough? Do you see what's going on? Just walk down the city streets. First place, the women half-dressed and panicky. Want to make sure everybody looks at them. The men with these angry, frightened, troubled faces. Are those God's children? Who's going to tell them who they really are? You see why? We have to be baptized in the Spirit so that we know what we're talking about and can say it in a way that's winsome, attractive. You know, you don't shake your rosary bead and say, repent. Show them the love of God and try to help them see. Serve the action of the Holy Spirit, who will show them, you see, where their sin is and how to turn from it. And so, that's love. And so, this text, you see, we're in a section. I've talked about this ABA sort of thing before. Paul, in chapter 12 of the first letter to the Corinthians, is talking all about the gifts. And it's a he's in the section where you're going to talk about the gifts, all the way down to the end of chapter 14. So, in chapter 12, he starts, you see. I want to go back, that's why I need my Bible. I want to clear up a wrong impression, this is the Jerusalem Bible, about spiritual gifts. You remember that when you were pagans, whenever you felt irresistibly drawn, it was toward dumb idols. Demons can draw people too. And you see it. I mean, go to a satanic seance and see them wriggling on the floor like snakes. You see? That's what you used to do. You see, that's what he's saying. I want you to understand on the one hand that no one can be speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit and say, Jesus is cursed. You can't do that. The Spirit would never. If that's coming out of your mouths, shut up. Okay. On the other hand, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless he is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You can say it. It's a higher apparent to say it. But if you really say it, it's because of a gift of God. By yourself, you cannot say that. Jesus is Adonai. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God, the Son of God. You can't say that and really mean it without an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so he goes on then to talk about the Trinitarian basis for all the gifts. Variety of gifts, same Spirit. Source of service to be done, same Lord. Here it's Spirit, Lord. And then it is the same God who is working in all of them. Spirit, Lord, God, God the Father. Theos, God the Father. And so he goes on to talk about those gifts, you see. And then he concludes his chapter with a line that lets us into where we are now. Strive eagerly for the greatest of the spiritual gifts. That's the the text. You see, zelute, be zealous for the charismata, who are the midzuna, the best, the outstanding charismata. I will show you the best way. The most charismatic thing you can do is lay down your life for the poor. That's the most, not prophesy or pray in tongues or levitate. It's love. All these gifts are necessary. The church has them by the thousands. Vatican II reminded the whole church of this in the document on the church. Anyway, so I'm going to show you now the best way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith so powerful I can move mountains but don't have love, I'm nothing. Nothing. If I can sit here and give these magnificent discourses and I don't have love, zip. Means nothing, you see. Now, we listen to the description of love. When you hear it on the Sunday, you know, when we get all the emotion out of you, this isn't sentiment. This is hard fire love, the kind that brought Jesus to the cross, the kind that drove Mother Teresa to travel the world pouring out her life for the poor. See, the kind that so identified Padre Pio with Jesus that he had the marks of the nails in his own hands and feet and the spear in his side. That's love. This is not sentiment. Okay? If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm just a clanging cymbal. I mean nothing. You see? If I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith that I can move mountains and I do not have love, I am nothing. He's trying to get these gifts into order for them. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over, and then there's this difficulty in the text. I think there's a whole series of texts who say, I hand over my body to be burned. And with a tiny, tiny change in the spelling, you can have it read, that I may hand over my body that I may boast. It's a little awkward. I think the text said, hand over my body to be burnt. But do not have love, I gain nothing. Okay, well then what's love? Love is patient. Makrotimi. It means great soul. It's great soul. It's patient, like God is patient. We're sinning, we're rebellion. He could blot us off the map, but he doesn't. We're supposed to be like that. It isn't putting up with your mother-in-law. It's leading people to Christ and working at it and being patient, you see. You might have to deal with your mother-in-law as well, but I mean, you deal with her the same way. Love, you see. Love is patient, you see. It's the first thing it says. Because that imitates God. God is patient. Love makes us like God. You see? I am nothing. If I give away everything I own and hand my body over to be burned, I think that's what they call a variant. Some manuscripts have this, some manuscripts have boast. But if the text read, I burn, some scribe could say it must be a mistake and put in boast. It's a very slight, just a change of a letter. Anyway, we don't have to argue about that. So then, well, what is love? You see? Love is patient. It means it endures. It loves so much that it's out there for the good of the other. It doesn't mean put up these people because they're a bore or because they annoy me. Beside the point. Love works to bring the other to Christ. You see, it's kind. It's not jealous. It's not pompous. It's not inflated. It is not rude. It doesn't seek its own interest. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. You got to see what that is? That's not love makes you a nice guy. Doesn't mean that at all. Now you're a nice guy. Nice guys sometimes have to be prophets if they love God's people. And then you're not a nice guy. You're telling people that they're in sin and they better get out of it because it's very dangerous. That's love. That's why I say you can always tell a real prophet. He loves God's people. She loves God's people. Mother Teresa is quoted once to me. She was giving a talk on the need to care for the poor. And she said, and the rich don't give a damn, Mother Teresa. She was trying to be harsh enough to shake them, because you wouldn't expect a pious nun to say that. Well, she'll say it, all right, because the rich don't give a damn. Some people now have billions of dollars, and they're trying to get everybody else to give money to the poor. They could give half of what they own away tomorrow and never even know it. Okay. It doesn't mean we don't have to do it too. I just mean, okay. It doesn't rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, admire somebody who's embezzled a lot of money. But love doesn't do that. You see? It bears all things, believes all things that come from God, not just everything. I don't believe the moon is made out of green cheese. You see? But I yield to God. It is not quick-tempered, does not brood over injury. That's where the discipline comes in. Somebody makes me mad, I shut up if I'm loving. You see? Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. One day, there'll be no more prophecy. We won't need it. We'll all see God. If tongues, they will cease for the same reason. And knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. Why have our little knowledge when we see God? You see? For we know partially and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And he gives his example. When I'm a child, I talk like a child. When I grow up, I talk like an adult. And I think like an adult. So we're in our childish stage now, you see. We see indistinctly as in a mirror. The mirrors in those days were a mess. They weren't like our mirrors. But then face to face. At present, I know partially, and I hunger and I thirst. One day I will know fully as I am fully known myself. And so these three last, faith, hope, and love. But of these three divine gifts, the greatest and the motor of them all is love.